Hello, this is David South. Welcome you to the East Dulwich Tabernacle Bible Class lesson recording for this week. Thank you for listening today. We have missed seeing you face to face and look forward to the day when we can all meet with each other at church. Please mention to your parents that we plan to reopen Sunday School Bible Class at the church on Sunday the 4th of October at 3 p.m. This will be confirmed by a letter which we will send to your home. Until then, do keep in touch with us and with each other. Please remember to take the quiz for each lesson. It is good to receive your answers. You can call up the quiz from the EDT website, and if you have a question, these can be asked as well. Before I start the lesson, I remind you that we do have the supporting Bible reading sheet which supplements this lesson. These can be downloaded from the website for you to have a copy so that you can remind yourself of the main lesson points and also pray and read a portion of God's Word each day throughout the week. This is very important. This week we have the fourth lesson in our series, Gains and Losses in Following Jesus. I will start with a short prayer, then read the Bible passage which supports the lesson on the Bible reading sheet 96. Today I will leave the reading of the hymn until after our lesson. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you in prayer, acknowledging that thou art the Almighty Sovereign God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We humbly acknowledge that our lives and eternal souls are in thy hands. We thank you that you are the only one who can help us through the challenges of life, especially through this time of coronavirus and danger. As the Almighty and all-powerful God, we look to thee to save us, to keep us spiritually, as well as strong in body and in mind. Please help us to listen carefully today and to take notice of thy gracious call to repentance and faith. We thank you for your interest in each one of us and ask that we will bow to the teaching of your word, for these are the very words of life to our souls. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We now come to our Bible reading, which is taken from Mark chapter 10. If you don't have your Bible with you, pause the recording, go and get it, and then you can follow the reading. Mark chapter 10, we'll be reading from verse 13 to 27. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 27. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. May the Lord richly bless to us that reading of the passage. So we come to lesson 96 in our series of gains and losses in following Jesus. In this series of lessons, we have considered some losses and gains experienced when we become a Christian. The first lesson was about John the Baptist, who preached repentance, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lamb of God, the Saviour of sinners. The second lesson was Peter, Andrew, James and John, who were called and left behind them their homes and livelihood to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They gained forgiveness of their sin and a calling to preach the gospel and become fishers of men. Last week we learnt about the value of a soul, the unique part of us as human beings that will live forever, the gain of eternal life when we fully trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we will learn about the currency of heaven. Yes, you may be surprised to be told that heaven has a currency. As you know, the currency of the UK is the British pound. The currency of Europe is the euro. The currency of the USA is the US dollar. To purchase items in these countries, you must use the currency of the country. Other currencies are not valid. If you travel to another country, you would need to buy some of their currency from a bank or money exchanger. You would be laughed at if you try to use UK pounds. Our place in heaven must be bought using heaven's currency. But what is it? Where can we get it from? The Lord Jesus used the approach of a rich young ruler who came to him with a serious question to explain this. Listen very carefully and you will find out what the currency of heaven is and where you can get it from. As his title suggests, he was young and very rich. He was well respected by the people and was one of their rulers. He was confident of his position in society, seen to be a good man, and one which people were pleased to call their friend or acquaintance. People today are keen to associate themselves with wealthy, influential people, welcome them to join their club or support their cause. A contribution by check or gold credit card would entitle them to join. This man possessed much earthly security and came to Jesus anxious to secure security for his valuable soul. Compared with many other rich young men, he was reasonably well behaved and felt he had good qualifications to be accepted by the Lord. So the rich young ruler asked the Lord Jesus this question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord is very pleased with his question, but seeing into his heart, not with his proud, boastful attitude. The young man felt he was living a good life and expected the Lord to say, "Well done, you do not need to do anything else." Sadly, the young man knew nothing of God's holy standard or of how eternal life could be his. He did not know about his own heart and its weaknesses. The rich young ruler had some hard lessons to learn. The Lord did not receive him into his close circle of friends. Instead, the Lord asked him difficult questions, laying down a standard which he could not meet. Challenging questions which would send this proud young man away with a sad heart. A different currency was needed. His money, social status, and good works were of no value in the bank of heaven. Neither the possessions of a vast estate and mansion, nor the power of a ruler, nor the accomplishments of a scholar have any value or buying power to secure from God any spiritual favours such as forgiveness of sin and eternal life. We thought earlier of the disappointment of being in a foreign country and not having the right currency to buy what we need. Some may ridicule you and think your £10 note has little value. A desperate position to be in. This was the position that the rich young ruler was in. He was surprised to discover that his riches and power, which had impressed others, were worthless in the bank of heaven. Ask yourself, am I likely to make the same mistake? Do you think that God will turn away people who have tried to live a good life, achieve much, and gain recognition for their contribution to society? Real young people who do well at school and in sport, especially those who are popular and reasonably well behaved, be turned away from heaven? Yes, if this is all that we bring to offer to God. The rich young ruler found this out. He did not bring the right currency. Righteousness, the currency of heaven, was required, and this rich young ruler had none. He was bankrupt. We could consider this the missing pounds. We notice that the Lord Jesus did not ask him about his attitude to God, his being, character, and holiness. We see the commandments 1-3 about having one God, no idols, not taking the name of the Lord in vain, the holiness of God. But the Lord Jesus asked him and reminded him to not commit adultery, not to kill, not to steal, not to bear false witness, to defraud not, and to honour thy father and mother, in Mark 10, verse 19. The rich young ruler claimed that he had kept God's law from his youth. He had totally overlooked and ignored those very important commandments which reveal to us who God is. He had not given any thought or time to loving God and to worshipping him for who he is. He had had no thought of how he should have put God first in his life and served him. How foolish he had been! How short-sighted! How easy it is for us to think of our few little good deeds when we should be ashamed of our enormous neglect of God. Do you listen to these lessons begrudgingly? Do you try to get out of it? Do you try to put it off? You may be glad of lockdown or some restrictions around you, as you do not have to come to church or Bible class. Do you help your parents with a grudging spirit? A few duties done grudgingly can never replace those done willingly, with heartfelt obedience, love, and affection. Grudging worship is not acceptable to God. The Lord was going to test the rich young ruler on his attitude to God a little later on. At this point, the Lord saw deep into his heart and soul. He was very proud, self-centered, and covetous. He had made a bad mistake. He had badly miscalculated his own worth in the sight of God. To get to where he was, he had been very shrewd in business and the management of his estate and financial affairs. No doubt he had been well educated and had learnt skills of leadership, management, and commerce. Yet, when it came to spiritual matters, those of the soul and eternity, of God and his standards, he was very naive, thinking that an immediate on-the-spot reply would do. What was the state of his soul? Consider, what value would an exam be if you set the questions yourself and marked it yourself? He had set the exam for how he had lived and had given himself top marks in a matter of moments. He would have held with contempt any manager of his estate who would have made quick and rash business decisions. Actually, he had left out the most important question from his exam paper, the one he would have totally failed to answer. The missing question was, who do you love most? You see, he was totally ignorant of the sinful state of his heart. It is a mistake that many make. What does good mean? If we define and answer this question ourselves, then we are bound to pass, because our standard for passing will be very low. Are we guilty of doing this? We must look in the mirror of God's word and judge by his standards. The rich young ruler's pride and selfishness caused him to think so much of himself, showing a total failure to recognize his heart's sinful state as measured by God's holy, perfect standards. He had made a very bad mistake. The Lord comes now to the real test. The rich young ruler had to learn what he was really like, how God saw him. The Lord Jesus did not debate or argue with him, but this young man now heard the terrible truth. He was tested. Sell all and give to the poor, Mark 10:21. With one simple request, the Savior showed him the truth about himself. Jesus simply asked him to sell his riches and give to the poor, and follow him as a disciple. Note, the Lord did not ask him for money. In a moment, the young man was shown his true motive for living. It was for himself. We must ask ourselves, who am I living for? Is it for self? His proud boasting of keeping the law of God from his youth stopped immediately. Beneath his thin veneer of goodness and respectability lay a mass of selfishness and greed. In a word, covetousness. His master sin of covetousness was now openly revealed. By selfishly keeping all his God-given wealth to himself, he was stealing from God and from the poor and needy. Sadly, the rich young man lost out by loving his wealth and possessions more than he did God. There is only one hope of eternal life. Firstly, let us consider what it is not. 1. It is not how well we live. It is not how good we are. Everything we think, say, and do are tainted with sin. We must admit that we break all God's holy commandments. 2. Money or position cannot buy God's forgiveness. 3. Attending church or being born to a Christian parents does not help us. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, said with an evangelical heart in Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Isaiah was speaking about peace with God. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the water of life, I am the bread of life." How strange. Isaiah says, "Come buy without money." The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, peace in your soul." The Lord made no mention of our needing to pay for this. So, what is the currency of heaven? The currency of heaven, that which buys us forgiveness and eternal life. It is only provided for us through what the Lord Jesus Christ did for sinners on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood. He gave his life, taking the punishment for our sin if we will repent and trust him. By his death, he redeems us, buys us back to himself. God the Father sees his Son's righteousness and his shed blood as the only currency which can pay for the guilt of our sin and remove it. If we repent our sin and trust in Christ's death and resurrection, then we are given his righteousness. Faith and righteousness are the gifts of God. The righteousness of Christ. Remember, he is a man, a perfect man, perfectly kept all the Ten Commandments. He is the only currency acceptable to God to buy us a place in heaven. So, trusting in Christ Jesus, his death and resurrection, and having his righteousness is our only hope of eternal life. The rich young man had to learn that he could not have eternal life unless he first renounced all trust in his own achievements and worth, and then put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord, seeing his own righteousness as filthy rags. Selfish living in this life and trusting in our own goodness will bring eternal loss and will never bring us to the eternal gain of God's wonderful heaven. The Lord Jesus invites us to come to him now. We read in Mark 10, verse 13 to 16, of how the Lord Jesus Christ welcomed children to come to him, and this includes you as a teenager. Acknowledge that you can bring nothing of value to him to enable you to enter heaven. We must plead his death on Calvary, where he takes away the guilt of sin, replacing it by his righteousness, making us fit for heaven. Will you, like the rich young ruler, go away from the Lord sad because you want to use the wrong currency, still feeling that you can earn acceptance with God without trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Come to him now, before pride poisons your heart and possessions and worldly gain consume your time, thoughts, emotions, and energies. The Lord Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. Paul wrote, "For he hath made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians 5:21. Well, thank you for listening, but we'll now look at our hymn. It's a hymn recognizing the cost of to the Saviour of dying to save lost sinners. Verse 1. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gains I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." Verse 2. "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood." Verse 3. "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingling down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?" Verse 4. "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." So, all of Christ, dying on the cross, taking the place of us, that we might be forgiven, nothing of paying anything, it's all free, it's all provided by Christ. The currency of heaven is his righteousness procured for us by the shedding of his precious blood. Let us now close in prayer. Dear Lord, please help us to learn from the big mistake that this rich young ruler made in feeling that he could enter heaven with his own righteousness rather than using the currency of heaven provided through your shed blood on Calvary and the gift of righteousness which you give to those who repent their sin and believe in the Saviour. O Lord, that we would each hear thy call to come in faith to the Saviour and buy without money and without price. Keep us safe through this coming week and enable us to safely meet together very soon. Help us, Lord, to read thy word, to study it every day, to pray to you, and to walk in thy ways, knowing Christ as our Saviour. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember, we plan to reopen Sunday School Bible class on October the 4th. A letter will be sent to your home to confirm this, if this is really on. We would also draw your attention to Pastor's ministry on the EDT website, eastdulwichtabernacle.org. Pastor's messages are broadcast live on YouTube, East Dulwich Tabernacle YouTube. Do join us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the evangelistic service and also for the teaching service at 6 p.m. On Wednesday at 7:30, Pastor is opening up the scriptures on the day of Pentecost. Thank you for listening today. Do answer the quiz questions and feel free to ask a question. We look forward to hearing from you. Goodbye.